Good evening, everybody. My name's TJ and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, TJ.
Although they can't hear me, I apologize to Zoomers for not being able to.
John.
Is that better?
No.
No more?
It's not? Okay. Is that better?
You could probably turn it up.
That's not better, huh?
It's better when talking to the microphone.
Okay. Sarai?
Sarai.
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 Lot of dead time here.
Yeah, what is this, a dead talk? Okay, so. Welcome to Spiritual Kindergarten with TJ. So, I was hoping that a lot more people that were here last week would be here this week. And it would have cleared up some of the questions that some of those folks had about the differences between steps 10 and step 11. And unfortunately, the guy I was thinking about is not here, and that's okay. So, there is a difference. So I'm going to read this out of the big book. This is real quick. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy about this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude to work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we make some definite and valuable suggestions. Now, the one thing you got to remember is when Bill wrote this, he was still in spiritual kindergarten, just like most of us. He didn't have a whole lot of time, and he didn't know what the heck he was really writing about. So, honestly, I think it really was God-inspired or God-given to us. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Which really is step 10. Have we kept something to ourselves which we should have discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. I love morbid reflection. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from any self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use, some of us more than others. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And it goes on. So, as you can see, step 11 is kind of just going right after going right along with the idea of step 10. And there is suspicious sign-in attempt prevented.
Just so you know, it's fucked up on here.
when Bill wrote this, he didn't have much of a spiritual life. He'd only been sober a few years himself. Step 11 is a culmination of all the other steps we've taken. Or in other words, you can't get to step 2 until after you do step 1. And you can't get to step 3 until after you do step 4. And step 3 leads us right into 4, step 4 into 5, so on and so forth. But step 3 and 4 are kind of pillars to all of this. They have two critical points. Step 3 is turning our will over to God. That's the first pillar. In step 11, the second pillar, we're going to receive God's will. Does that make sense to everybody? Bill called this exercise some definite and valuable suggestions. He laid out 4 different parts of that. Night, morning, indecision, and prayer. So at night, this is where everybody gets confused with step 10. Okay? It's not a nightly inventory, but it is a nightly inventory. Does that make sense? Probably not. It still doesn't to me. It's still the same thing. It's a nightly review. So if you're confused between 10 and 11, okay, you're confused. So am I. And maybe one day I'll figure it out. Maybe my sponsor after the meeting today will go, TJ, you're an idiot. Here's the difference. And he's back there gritting his teeth now, or yawning, one of the two. We done yet?
No. Almost. I have a question.
In the morning, we simply ask God to direct our thinking. We will become more mindful of His direction. So the more you practice this stuff, the more mindful you'll be about all this. And I remember thinking to myself, this is never going to come natural to me. But after almost 35 years, it kind of has become kind of natural for me to actually wake up in the morning and do exactly that. So, basically, if we could spend 2.5 minutes in the morning asking for a little bit of direction, and 2.5 minutes at night kind of going over our day, if we could spend, so that's a total of 5 minutes during our life, that would give me, or you, 23 hours and 55 minutes to screw the rest of the day up. And I'm really good at that. But it would still be better than what I had before. Indecision. If we could all realize and accept the fact that we are human, we'd be in a much better place. We'd be in a better place to handle indecision. You're not going to know all the answers to all the questions. After 35 years of sobriety, I do not have all the answers to all the questions. I have my limitations. Part of my limitations are I don't remember squat. You know, I really have a hard time, especially lately anyway, of remembering stuff. I don't know whether it's I have too much on my mind or I'm just getting old. I don't know. But I have limitations. The key is, I know where to find information. It's in the big book. It's in my sponsor's head. It's in the Joe and Charlie books and tapes. They're in the Joe McHugh books. It is someplace that I can find where the answers are. And to me, that's the biggest thing. However, God has given us self-will. And He will allow me, and probably you, to struggle as much as you want to. So if you're struggling with indecision, have at it. And for me, my higher power is going to give me just enough rope to hang myself. Until I finally say, all right, I give up. I don't know. I don't know what's the right answer for this question or this problem or whatever. I don't know. And I have such a hard time giving it up. If I choose, I can allow my higher power to take that problem. That doesn't mean I've solved the problem. All it means is I can relax and I can let go, let my higher power have the problem. Now that sounds like we're working on step 3, but it's not. We are talking about step 11. I am now going to allow my higher power to work on those problems. I remember there's one guy, Sandy Beach is his name, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard about Sandy Beach. And he always says, when there's a problem, go to the movies. Go to the movies, buy yourself a nice big Coke or Pepsi or whatever, big bag of popcorn, and go to the movies. And enjoy the movie. And when you're all done, the problem's still going to be there. You had a great time in the movies, didn't you? And you didn't worry at all about that problem while you were in the movies. Why are you going to worry about it now? So I haven't solved the problem. And here's where the trust part comes in. The answers will come. They may come from in the big book. They may come from your sponsor. They may come from a meeting that you're attending. They may come from the guy in the meeting or the gal in the meeting that you absolutely, positively can't stand. Because usually they think just like I do. And the truth of it is, if I'm willing to listen to what is being said in a meeting, I realize my higher power has been sitting in that meeting all along. He's heard every prayer that I've ever had. He's heard everything that I've ever asked. He knows that I'm in indecision, that I don't know what to do about this particular problem, and He leads me right to the problem, to the answer. He leads me right to the answer to the problem. Sometimes it's just intuition. Sometimes it's just something that comes to my mind. All of a sudden, it's just there. What I have to do is not struggle. That's my biggest problem, is I want to struggle with this. And I don't want my higher power to take this over. I remember when I first got sober, I probably had 3 or 4 years of the program. And I was really struggling with this indecision, this problem that I had, and I wasn't really even, I'm not even sure today that I can tell you what it was. It was probably so insignificant. But I remember that it was right around Easter time. It was during Lent. So I thought to myself, all right, so I'm struggling with this problem, and I'm looking for God to answer this problem for me. He's not answering it for me. I'm not hearing it in meetings. It's awful. And it's really ticking me off. And I'm really having a hard time with this. I'm depressed. I'm angry. I'm all of those things. And so I decide, okay, I work right down the street from St. Anne's Church on 10th and East Avenue. So at noontime, I'm going to blow off lunch. I'm going to blow off the meeting, and I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to sit in church until God tells me the answer to this question. And guess what I didn't hear? The answer to the question. I didn't hear it there. I thought, all right, I'll go back tomorrow. So I went back tomorrow. And as I'm praying, and I remember it distinctly saying, you know, you're really not showing up here. What the hell's going on? Why am I sitting in this church waiting for God to answer these questions? He's not showing up. And out of my mouth came, so where the hell are you? And I thought, oops, I said that out loud in this church. And I did, right in the middle of Mass. And everybody turned around and looked at me like, oh yeah, there's another oddball. I'm sure. And I'm like, yeah, well, okay, whatever. But the answer did not come. Because I was struggling so hard with it. I had never actually turned it over. I had never actually given it away. So when you're in indecision, give it up. Let it go. The answers will come. You don't even have to seek them that hard. They're there. You just got to pay attention to what's going on. I have never been to an AA meeting when I didn't hear something I was supposed to hear. I used to go to AA meetings when I first got sober, and I'd think, am my wife calling you guys and telling you what the topic should be or something? Because I'm pretty sure she is. Or is my boss calling you guys and telling you what a jerk I've been today? I don't get it. You know, and all this stuff was happening, and I'm thinking, it's like they knew who I was. And if you pick up the big book and you start reading the big book, you go, wait a minute. Were they in my house last night? What's going on here? But that's the truth. For me, that was always the truth. I find the answers right here in these rooms. What used to be a hunch is no longer a hunch. It's an inspiration. Okay, now we'll talk about the last part of step 11. We're going to talk about prayer. Prayer is meant to be used to receive directions. That came out of the steps we took. Prayer is meant to be used as to receive directions. However, I used prayer to tell God exactly what I wanted. This is what I want. This is what I want you to do. And that never happens. Never happens. I had one of my sponsees came up to me one time and said, is it okay if I pray that my wife dies tonight? And I looked at him and I said, what? He said, is it okay if I pray if my wife dies tonight? I said, oh my Lord, sure, go ahead. It can't hurt. But it's not going to happen. It's not what prayer is. So, to me, this is the simplest part of this step. It says, we pray only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. What's my prayer today? For the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. That's my prayer today. Okay, so I told you, if you were here during the fourth or fifth step, and I talked about being on the mountain and having some difficulties and wanting to end my life because of resentment I had. And what the feeling that came over me that day was just, it just washed over me like I just knew everything was going to be okay. This peace came. So I had about 10 years of sobriety. I was working on my third sponsor. And we were somewhere around 11 or 12, something like that. And I had taken him and his wife to a hockey game. We went to see a hockey game. On the way, when we got home, and this will tell you how long ago that is, there was a message on the answering machine, and it said that my son, who we had dropped off 2 weeks earlier down in Pittsburgh to go to college, was in Mercy Hospital in the emergency room, and that we needed to call the emergency room right away. And I thought, okay, so that's pretty scary. So I called, and she tells me that my son basically has had a brain aneurysm, and they're not really sure he's going to be okay. So we need you to come down right away. That's really scary. Now I'm scared to death. And I said, oh, okay. So I got directions on how to get to Mercy Hospital, what exit to get off of on 279 or whatever it was. And I said, okay, we'll be down as quickly as we can possibly get there. Okay. So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, you know where the keys are. Take care of the dogs tomorrow morning. Okay. And then I called my sponsor, and I told him what was going on. We didn't have a cell phone back then, I don't think. So I called my sponsor, and I told him what was going on, and he said, just go, it'll be okay. And I was frightened, scared to death. I thought, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, I've gone through all of this. I was doing the old, woe is me. I was so afraid that God was going to take my son because of, and the old thinking, my old thinking came right back. You know, my old thinking was, anytime something happened, I knew God was punishing me for something. And that old thinking came right back. Oh my God, what did I do this time? I must have done something wrong, and God is now punishing me by taking my son. And then my sponsor said, it'll be okay. Just go. So on the way down, I am praying, God, please let my son be okay. You can take my life, but don't take his life. He's so young, let him be okay. And it dawned on me. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know how that thought just entered my mind. And my thought was, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So I asked that very thing, that my prayer was, I don't know what your will is for me, but whatever it is, I just need to know what your will is for me and the power to carry that will out. And I'm going to tell you that calm feeling washed over me. And I knew no matter what happened, it was going to be okay. That feeling has come back to me again and again and again. That I knew it was going to be okay, no matter what happened. Whether he lived or died, and by the way, he's fine. during my lead, I always forget to tell people that. He's fine. But it's a feeling that I'll never, I don't think I can ever describe to you that you would understand it. It's just, I know it's going to be okay. So the last thing I'm going to tell you is pray as if it all depended on God. And work as if it all depends on you. And lastly, I'm going to tell you, for those of you who are new, you don't have to be on step 11 to work it. Go for it. Anytime you want. Go for it. Just ask for the knowledge of His will. Just ask for the knowledge of His will for you and the power to carry that out. And that's the prayer that you should be asking. Let me rephrase that. In my opinion, and what I do is pray that prayer. And that's it. That's all I got. Thanks.
All right.
Might need help turning it.
Hold it
on the bottom. Hold it until that little screen turns on.
There we go. Thanks, TJ. All right, everybody. Now we got the question and answer period. So if you have any questions for TJ on step 11, please raise your hand and I'll bring you the mic.
Hi, everyone. My name is John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
TJ, how many circumstances have you encountered in your life where you have tried to turn a problem over to your higher power and you've been patient and you felt that there wasn't any resolution to the problem? I'm sure it's been one or two.
Well, wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand your question. You're asking me whether I've ever had a problem that never got resolved?
Yes.
That's never happened.
No?
I don't believe so.
And I'm not contradicting you.
I'm just trying to think that, I mean, sometimes the problems just work out on their own. But for the most part, if I'm turning it over, the answers do come. No, not for the most part. I can truly tell you, I think they've always come, if I'm willing to listen to them. But honestly, I have to become willing to turn it over and let God have the problem. And that's where my self-will comes into play, is if I can turn my will over to my higher power, then the answers will come. If I'm not turning my will over, nah, I could struggle with this for a long damn time. Does that answer your question, sort of, kind of?
Yes.
Anybody else?
Oh, now you're in trouble. In working the steps, we become spiritual beings. And we attract other spiritual beings. I don't know if that's happened to you. It probably has. And it's amazing because you will be somewhere and you end up striking up a conversation with someone you don't even know, and you become connected. I think that's when we were drinking, we were separated from that, you know, because our egos and our drunkenness got in the way. I know in traveling around all over and running into people, it's amazing the connectivity. And and you should, what I'd like to know is how you feel when that you know that there's a connection there. And it happens in the most weird places, and all of a sudden somebody will walk up to you and you'll start talking to them, like, whether it's in the fellowship or not in the fellowship, and you'll start talking to them like, oh my goodness, it's like you've known each other your whole life. And that's a great thing. It's a great feeling.
Okay, so to answer your question and maybe a little bit more, when I first got sober, even before I got sober, I guess, it always seemed like I was attracted to the people that drank just like me, without even knowing it, without even knowing that this person was just like me. It just seemed like I was attracted to, for some odd reason. So I'm sober, quite a number of years. And there was a woman that I did a lot of business with in Cleveland. Never met her. I couldn't tell you what she looked like. I knew her name. That was it. And I liked her, and she seemed like a nice lady, and I really enjoyed, listening to her and whatever. And it just seemed like I was very much attracted to this person. Like I said, I never met her. I had no idea who she was. And so I made arrangements. My wife and I were going up to a ball game up in Cleveland, and I made arrangements, and she was going to be there. So she told me what seat she was going to be in. So my wife and I waited till, we saw people in those seats, and then we walked down. And she was a very attractive young lady, and just absolutely drunker than a skunk. And said, "Huh, I wonder why I like this lady so much." So then, in speaking to her partner a couple of weeks later, he goes, "Oh yeah, she's been drunk on every street corner in Cleveland, I'm pretty damn sure." And I'm thinking, how is that possible? And yes, I've been attracted to other people who, to me, are spiritual giants. And I don't know how to explain this other than the easiest way for me to explain it is when I listen to some people talk, it's like they ooze spirituality. I mean, it just comes pouring out of them. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know how to describe it. But it's that feeling that this person, whoever it is just a spiritual giant. And that's all, I don't know any other way to describe it. And that's how I've picked my last 23 sponsors. My last three sponsors have been just that, exactly that way. When I stood there and listened to what they were saying, it was like they oozed spirituality. And there was one particular guy that, honestly, I just thought he was the most spiritual person in the whole wide world. And I got so much out of what he was talking about. He didn't practice what he preached, as I found out later, but he really was a very spiritual person. I do understand that feeling. I don't know that I've had quite the experiences that you have, but I do understand what you're saying.
One more. when I came into the program, you remember Joe Mraz.
Yeah.
And we would go on 12-step calls together, and we would go to the houses, and I was terrified, of course, because it's always 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark, and you're going into a drunk's house.
And so much good goes on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And Joe used to tell me, just shut your mouth. If you do have something to say, God will make you say it. And that's been true my whole sobriety. Whenever you talk to somebody, whenever you meet somebody for the first time, it, all of a sudden, bleh, bleh, it just comes out. And you go, wow, that was pretty cool. Where'd that come from? And then you start thinking, you know, God, maybe God is hiding that anonymity in there. Because, you know, it's really cool for that to happen.
It is really cool for that to happen, and I'll tell you, the first time it happened to me, scared the crap out of me, because I wasn't exactly sober when it happened. I was sitting in my boss's office, explaining to him what was truly going on in my life, and as all this stuff is tumbling out of my mouth and telling him how much I'm drinking and what's going on and so on and so forth, my thought process was, oh my God, shut the hell up. People, you get put into insane asylums for some of the crap you're spewing right at the moment. Oh my God, I couldn't believe what was coming out of my mouth. But I couldn't stop until the truth came out. So, yeah, I agree. It's been happening most of my life.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks for sharing again tonight. Leslie, alcoholic. And here's my question. What I was wondering is this. What does your spiritual practice look like today? What, you know, what actions do you take? Just how does it work for you? And how did you get from point A to point now? You know, how did that begin when you were a new guy assuming a spiritual practice?
Well, it took a long time, I'll tell you that. And at first, first of all, I really didn't talk about meditation very much. As I said, if you can spend 2.5 minutes in the morning and 2.5 minutes at night, you're doing a really good job. And I'll tell you how I do it today. But first of all, when I first came into the program, I heard, you know, you get on your knees in the morning and you say, help me, and you get on your knees at night and say, thank you. And I tried to do that for a while. And then my thought was, what's the knee thing? You know, why do I have to kneel for this? Why can't I just say this while I'm laying in bed? And why can't I practice meditation while I'm laying in bed? Well, the first problem was I was laying in bed, so I'd fall asleep. So then I thought I would practice meditation in the shower. And, you know, my thoughts were, sometimes my thoughts drifted off to other places. But the more I practiced it, the better I got with it. I think that's the biggest thing, is we have to continually practice. It never says, well, I don't know, a lot of people talk about working the steps, and I think we just have to keep practicing the steps all the time. And I know I'm never going to be perfect at this, but it's just taken me a lot of practice and a lot of patience. With my spiritual life today. I'm not a church guy. I used to be, but I'm not a church guy anymore. I found my higher power right here in these rooms. How I meditate today is, well, one of the things I do when I first get up in the morning is I go immediately to my phone. And a lot of people go and do readings, and that's fine. If that works for you, then that works for you. But for me, and I think I told you that mostly I couldn't read when I got here, so I have some word puzzles that I work on. And it's amazing when I sit there and work on these puzzles. How my mind wanders off into that spiritual meditation that I try to get to. And all of a sudden I realize I'm thinking about anything other than me. And I'm grateful for that today. I do more listening during that time. I don't want to say that I do more listening to my higher power during that time as I do meetings, but it comes pretty close to that. So that's one of the things that I do. And again, when I'm at meetings, to me that is the most spiritual part about all this. You know, when Jim was talking about wanting, just having this stuff fall out of your mouth and you're going, I don't know how this happens. It's happened all through these last few weeks. That I've written down a lot of crap, but it's just stuff that I read in the books that I read. But everything else is just coming from my mouth. So, and I think it's part of my higher power. Does that answer your question, sort of?
Yes, very much.
Thanks.
Anybody on Zoom?
No.
I'm just kidding. There's nobody on Zoom.
Sorry.
Thank you, TJ.
Thanks.
So, I wonder if you question yourself sometimes. And that would be, like, I have a higher power that I call God. I feel good about myself. And I feel that I'm doing the next right thing for the most part. But I was hit one time during a meeting. I was talking about, I just came back from church, so I was late getting to the meeting. And someone said to me, "You go to church?" Mm-hmm. And the way I took that was, I put all that on me saying, apparently you're not doing a good enough job to have a God in your life because people are questioning it. Do you ever feel that maybe we're saying or feeling something that might not be true?
I'm not exactly sure how to answer that question. However, my first thought is, that's none of anybody else's business. And your spiritual life is your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, good or bad, it doesn't matter. Because God meets you where you are. You know, it doesn't matter whether you have one day of sobriety or 100 years of sobriety, God's going to meet you right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever part of spirituality you're in, or whatever stage you're in, or however far along you are, he's going to meet you right where you are. So I would say that you are right where you're supposed to be,
okay,
wherever that might be.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Now Kevin's got one.
It'll be quick, TJ. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it. You were talking about this washed over feeling when you feel the presence of God just washing over you and giving you these things, and the incidences that you described were both major and horrific. Do you find that those are a common experience for you on a daily basis?
No, I do not think that they're common on a daily basis. And maybe I should, but I don't think that. I think this is just God's way of sometimes reminding me who's really in charge here. You know, The most recent part about this I had was that I... That's not really the most recent thing. But one of the ones I had was right after my heart attack. And my wife asked me if I was scared before I went into for whatever. And I told her no. Absolutely not. Because I knew everything was going to be okay. But I still have to be reminded about that every now and again. So I have a sponsor that reminds me all the time. And I go to meetings where people remind me all the time that no matter what happens, good or bad, it's going to be okay. I think COVID was the most recent thing that I understood. I mean, my first thought was, you know, if they're not letting people go to meetings, oh my God, what are we going to do? We're not going to be allowed to go to meetings. Holy shit. I can't get in touch with all these people. And then I thought, okay, it's not a big deal. I've been sober a while. It's not like I'm going to pick up a drink right away. We only have 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I'll be fine. I wasn't. I was panicking all over the place. And then I thought, the new people. Oh my God, the new people. What are we going to do? And then Zoom came along. And I thought, you know, it's going to be okay. No matter what happens, it's going to be okay. I got $10 that says in Ukraine right now, they're having AA meetings. It would not surprise me to find out that they're having AA meetings in Ukraine. You know, in a bomb shelter someplace. And so I'm positive that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. I just need to be reminded of that.
Does that answer your question?
Not even close, but that's fine.
You're full of crap.
All right, I think that's it. Thanks, TJ.
I'm going to let him go peacefully.
Let's go. Hurry, run away.